clerk please read item number four?
Item four, from the Director of Audit's Office of the Comptroller, providing an informational status update on the implementation of recommendations contained in the audit report titled Aftermath of Courthouse Fire Illustrates Need for Improved Insurance Claims Management and Business Continuity. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And for members, I know I talked to Chairman Lipscomb. I mean, this could have been directed to finance as well. He chose to forward it to this committee for our review because finance is a little bit busy right now. And so it's here for informational only. Please introduce yourself and then go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jerry here, Comptroller, Director of Audits. The audit that we issued regarding the courthouse fire presented to you and the exec and the public 13 recommendations. What you have before you today is the current status of the administration's implementation of measures to address those recommendations. You'll note that many of the items that are presented on the right-hand schedule of the follow-up reports indicate that completion is still in progress. And when you look at the furthest date out, you end up with about April of 2016. So our recommendation to you today would be to have the status report come back to you in April of 2016 so that we can hopefully close out executive actions to address the 13 recommendations. This was a serious incident. It was $19.1 million of cost to primarily the insurance fund at the state level and to their excess insurance company. But there are things that we as a government can do to ensure that should something like this happen again, we're in a better position to address it at every level in terms of the immediate response, the claims management, and just all of the accounting for the actual cost of these kinds of incidents. I'll stop there, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to attempt an answer.
Thank you. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In those that need further action required, is there one that troubles you, I guess, more than any of the others? When we look at a priority here, we know sometimes not everything can be done immediately, but if there's one thing that concerns you the most.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll be very clear about the answer. One thing that concerns me as your county auditor is I would like to get that final $19.1 million of expense totally tied out. But the chair you're sitting in, I'm sure you'd be more interested in complete implementation to address the evacuation of the courthouse, you know, public address systems, protocols, and to make sure that should something like this happen again, we've got the ability to do communications in a manner that is probably going to have to be off-site or in a different location. Now, there's a lag in the fire response, primarily because the server at the dispatch center went down. People were using their personal cell phones to communicate on this issue. So from your perspective, I would think you want to make sure that it's going to be the emergency response to communications and the evacuation. Now, we have made a lot of strides in that area. You'll recall Ms. Westrich engaged in a COOP project, the Continuation of Operations Project, and that is so far beyond what we had before this incident. But from our perspective, there's still an opportunity to do better. Part of what happened here is that after the audit, we did create a separate Office of Emergency Management. And so what we're going to try and do for the April report is to focus more the responsibility for addressing these recommendations between OEM and facilities management. Back in the day when we did this audit, they were in the same department. And now we just want to make sure that things don't fall through the cracks in terms of getting information to you about implementation.
Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand that the audit relates to procedures and response to the fire so that we can look prospectively as to what could be done to make sure that persons know what to do and how to do what needs to be done. But I still have a problem with respect to the billing on some of this, on some of what happened, billing related to expenses charged to the county. In as much as I think Universal was the firm, and the firm used its security persons through which many, many dollars other than their salaries were used as a vehicle by which to pay the firm. And to me, that is very responsible, it's very inappropriate, and maybe at some time there something can be put in writing about that. I a number of times talked to the DAS director of operations, and she basically was somewhat handcuffed in as much as for what was asked by me as the co-chair of the finance committee and other committee members to have something, to have that corrected or to have that analyzed, broken down. It just never happened. And to be a responsible steward elected to the office I have, I think it's very appropriate to bring attention to such. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, the one thing that happened with this audit that hopefully will have a long-term positive impact, because it was a very negative situation, was the problem with our safety officer within risk management was exposed as a result of this fire. There were six criminal charges filed against that individual. It's our understanding that he's scheduled for trial in, I believe, February of 16. So hopefully we'll have something to report back in terms of the outcome of that aspect of this sad affair. The situation with Mr. Dietcher was such that he was the go-to guy. And it's sort of we all have this sort of animal house defense. We messed up, we trusted him. And he took us for a ride. I think the DA's made a compelling complaint in that regard, and hopefully they'll be able to make a compelling case.
Another thing, Chairman and Supervisors, that has happened now is that working through the local government property insurance fund, there was another audit of Universal's costs that was done. They brought in an outside construction audit firm. A number of those costs were reviewed and some of them were cut back, and the amount ultimately paid to Universal is being trimmed. I don't have exact numbers. Not a huge amount. I don't know that specifically the security costs were examined, but there were some invoices and some costs that were examined, and the amount was trimmed somewhat. So,
Mr. Chairman, I'd be interested in seeing that, because again, the bulk of their costs were directed toward these security guards who we saw every day over on
this is 10th Street.
10th Street, okay. On 10th Street. Right. On 10th Street. And if most of the funds were directed through them, I believe it's highly inappropriate. With respect to an auditor, that auditor would be handcuffed with respect to, related to how the analysis of those costs, accounting and auditing would be very much hampered without any explanation as to what goes where and what it's for. So I just wanted to bring it up again. I brought it up seven or eight times, and I will continue until somebody understands that shouldn't happen anymore.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in response to that very question being raised in committee in the months after the fire, there was an adjustment to the rate. You recall there was a 20% markup on those hours, and it resulted in a rate that was just valid. So they didn't adjust with them. What Mr. Barton's talking about is once you've adjusted the rate, then you've got to get in to figure out what was really going on the ground. And clearly, we had a situation where the person monitoring these expenses had what now appears to be a vested personal interest in making sure that money was flowing out.
Mm-hmm.
Universal, Belfour, before them, were paid on a percentage basis markup. So there were some clear incentives to not constrain those expenses. To the extent that our former employee took the step of kicking the clerk of the works off the work site. The people who are ultimately going to pay this bill, the excess insurance company, put what they call a clerk of the works on site to review expenses real time. And kind of under the pretense of streamlining, our former employee told them they were not allowed on the work site. So the criminal case, there's ongoing litigation between the state fund and their excess insurance company, which doesn't involve us, but if any of that information becomes public, we're hopeful that we can use it to learn some lessons.
Another thing that happened is that Ms. Esch is no longer employing Universal, and Kelman is now doing jobs that Universal used to do, and I think we're done with Universal.
Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this your first time encountering a situation, the aftermath of a fire as an auditor? Have you experienced this previously in the past?
This is the first time. We've done post-incident audits on things like the safety of our buildings with regard to pieces of them falling off. You recall the tragedy at O'Donnell Park in 2010. But this was the first full-blown claims audit that we did. In fact, this was one of the largest claims that the insurance fund that covers all municipalities, at least for now, had dealt with. It's the first one we did.
How did you define 13 recommendations? What steps did you take in order to conclude that these 13 items were the most important issues?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we start with the scope. And the scope that we were charged with was to figure out what was the fire going to cost the county, how well did we manage the initial response, the recovery, and the subsequent events, basically. We were asked to do an after-action audit on the incident that occurred on July 6th of 2013. Once we get that charge, I don't want to make it sound simple because it involves a lot of heavy lifting, but we basically just plug in an audit program. We take government auditing standards, we define a scope, we say what do we need to do to achieve the scope, what files do we need to see, what interviews do we need to conduct, what best practices or national standards do we need to apply. So all of our recommendations are backed up by a body of work that's grounded in professional audit standards, and the application of those standards is driven by the scope. In this case, the scope was pretty clear. How much did it cost us? Why did it happen? And how well did we recover from it?
You mentioned in your remarks earlier, you said that Milwaukee County, we got taken for a ride.
Yes.
To me, that's I'm just baffled to hear that a body of government could be taken for a ride by a contractor. How does that occur?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it happens when we place an undue amount of trust in the hands of one person, and when that person can operate without traditional checks and balances and oversight, when they're essentially unmanaged or undermanaged. And that's exactly the situation we're in. Supervisor Broderick expressed some concerns about this employee back in 2008, and we brought those concerns to the attention of the administration at that time. And we got the pat on the head, don't worry, this is the way things are done in this world. Well, clearly, the way things were done here was not reflective of the best practices in insurance claims management in the nation. When our employee developed a very cozy personal relationship with an employee of a vendor company, bad things started to happen. Little niceties and gifts and perks were exchanged, and money was flowing out without really any good checks and balances.
Now, is this a practice of Milwaukee County to place undue trust in the hands of contractors? How are we making sure we're not doing that on other contractors?
Not anymore. I think one of the things that we were most impressed by with Ms. Bohacek's safety officer, with Paul Schweigel, is his approach to making claims management more well understood by people who file claims, more managed by his office and his boss, more transparent, more actually smooth and clean and quick as well, but our goal was to make sure it was more accountable. He's actually prepared a kind of a no-nonsense 10-minute PowerPoint for people who work at the county to know what they're supposed to do. In the past, that information was held very closely because the last thing you want out there, if you're an employee who's engaged in misconduct, you don't want anybody else touching your stuff, you don't want them knowing what you're doing. You give them the sharp elbow if they have any questions or they raise any concerns. That link is on the website. I think the link is broken, but we've asked risk management to address that broken link because it is a good way for our employees to know how to deal with things so that we end up with an outcome that is fair and honest and transparent.
And prior to this contract, did Mr. Beecher have any other contracts in Milwaukee County?
Well, what's interesting about this situation is that the employee at Universal, who we no longer use, was previously an employee at Belfour, and all of the business was going to Belfour. When that employee moved to Universal, all of a sudden, all of the business is going to Universal. And So what's interesting and kind of a good news thing about this is the damage that Mr. Dietcher could do was fairly constrained because this was the go-to restoration company. It wasn't like he had 15 different vendors that he was kind of doing this with. He just had the one. And that's part of the problem. We had one with no competition, no pricing, no oversight, and in this case, no contract.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I can't help but given your comments about misplaced trust, I can't help but think of the disassembling of the GAB by the state government these days, but that is another subject. What disturbs me, I guess, most about this is that the immediate cause of the fire is still unknown to us, to the public, to the public's representatives. And thus, what role deferred maintenance might have played in this whole very expensive incident is equally unclear. You know, in my opinion, the keeping taxes artificially low by neglecting expenditures necessary to properly maintain our infrastructure was a hallmark of the Walker administration, and to some degree has also influenced the behavior of this current administration. And I think that that caused an understanding, if it was related to deferred maintenance, would perhaps act as a guide in that regard to better policies regarding maintenance of our infrastructure. I certainly appreciate all the good work that audit has done on this, the recommendations that have flowed from it. I think it's all very positive and should act as a deterrent in the future for any kind of repetition of this behavior. You know, and I understand it's discovery material. It's not necessarily available to us. It'll be revealed during the process of discovery. But do we have any sense for when we might, in a very specific way, understand what's been able to be